From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today he brings the final portion of a message called Believers and the Problem of Sin, part of this series on the Lord's Prayer. Before Dr. Cairns comes, please enjoy this short devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, From Obedience to Blessing. The text is found in Haggai, chapter 2 and verse 19. From this day will I bless you. Future things are hidden from us. Yet here is a glass in which we may see the unborn years. The Lord says, From this day will I bless you. It is worthwhile to note the day which is referred to in this promise. There had been failure of crops, blasting and mildew, and all because of the people's sin. Now the Lord saw these chastened ones commencing to obey His word and build His temple. And therefore He says, From the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider, from this day will I bless you. If we have lived in any sin, and the Spirit leads us to purge ourselves of it, we may reckon upon the blessing of the Lord. His smile, His Spirit, His grace, His fuller revelation of His truth will all prove to us an enlarged blessing. We may fall into greater opposition from man because of our faithfulness, but we shall rise to closer dealings with the Lord our God and a clearer sight of our acceptance in Him. Lord, I am resolved to be more true to Thee and more exact in my following of Thy doctrine and Thy precept. And I pray Thee, therefore, by Christ Jesus, to increase the blessedness of my daily life, henceforth and forever.
Jesus, my soul.
Soon it will be the time of year when the thoughts of God's people turn with special emphasis to the miracle of the Incarnation, the incomprehensible truth of Emmanuel, God with us. The Apostle John wrote, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Joseph was told, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, we're happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas, written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer. The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding "But to Think About" section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas while supplies last. Continuing these studies in the Lord's Prayer, Dr. Cairns has been focusing on the petition, "And forgive us our debts." As he's pointed out, most of the requests we're to make for ourselves involve the subject of sin and its consequences. It is quite evident from the Holy Scriptures that sin lies at the root of every problem facing the human race. The tragedy is that too often God's people fail to give the lost people the answer to the problem of sin: salvation through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to conclude this message, "Believers and the Problem of Sin," here is Dr. Cairns.
We ought to have a desire to bring others to Christ and bring them under His kingly rule. We ought to be willing to stand up against every foe. We ought to bring ourselves more and more under His complete lordship, and we ought to live in the light of the King's return. We ought to pray, Thy kingdom come. And of course, we ought to do His will. We ought, if you can cast your mind back to how I explained that part of the Lord's Prayer, we ought to be submitted to His purpose, and we ought to be obedient to His command. Now, those are the duties. Sin is a dereliction of any or all of those duties. And it's a debt. Sin places us in debt. Notice the word ought in the text that I quoted earlier. Every one of them has the idea of something we owe. We owe it to the Lord to live in holiness. We owe a debt to Him to live in obedient surrender. What doth the Lord thy God require of thee? Moses asked in Deuteronomy 10. What does He require of you? You owe it to God to fear the Lord, to walk in His ways, to love Him, to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep His commandments. That's according to Moses. We owe that to God. Let me ask you this morning, have a look at your life. Not just your profession. Have a look at your life today. I owe it to God day by day to walk in His way, to walk in His fear, to love Him with all my heart, to obey His commandments. Am I discharging that duty and that debt? Take some specifics. We each owe God a truly godly worship. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The Church of Christ owes it to God to worship Him according as He has dictated. In 1 Corinthians 11, dealing with public worship. This is where Paul writes, a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he's the image of, and glory of God. And verse 10, for this cause ought the woman to have power in her head, because of the angels. They ought and they ought not. God is saying we owe Him a godly worship. We owe it to God to walk as Christ walked, according to 1 John 2 and verse 6. We owe it to God to grow up to mature, according to Hebrews 5 and verse 12. The time has come that we ought to be teachers. We ought to be mature. Now listen. We owe this to the Lord. God saved you. You've been born again into His family. You're made a child of God. You've got the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. You've got the Bible in your own language. You've got freedom to read, to pray, to study, to learn, to practice what you believe, to witness for Christ. You have all that opportunity. And there are Christians here today who in years, maybe 10 or 20 years old in the faith, but in maturity, they're still babes. Paul says, we owe it to God to grow up. We owe it to God to become mature Christians. We owe it to God to get strengthened in the truth and in the faith of the gospel. This is not something that simply drops out of heaven all neatly packaged like a Christmas box. This is something that comes through the daily fellowship of the gospel and the daily discipline of prayer and study and submission and obedience and service to God, we owe it to God to grow up. And all the more so because He has redeemed us with His blood. If you want to define sin clearly, go to the cross. When you see Christ crucified, then you'll see your duty and your debt and your sin. What did Paul say to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 6:19? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? And you are not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore, notice the word, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We owe this to the Lord because He has redeemed us. We not only owe it to God, we owe it to other people to live the Christian life to its full. Every Christian owes it to sinners to give them the gospel. Romans 1:14 says, in Paul's great confession, I am debtor. The same expression. I owe it. Now, I could understand it if Paul said, I owe it to God to preach the gospel. That would be true. But he says, I am debtor. To whom? To sinners. I'm debtor to the Greeks, to the barbarians, to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Why did Paul go around the world preaching the gospel? Surely it was because he felt a duty to God. He felt a debt toward Christ. He felt a love to his Redeemer. All that is true. But there was something else. He felt he owed it to sinners. Put yourself in a similar situation. Just around the corner from you, there are people starving, and they're going to die with hunger. And you have a full and free supply of the food they need. Would you not feel some obligation to go and feed the hungry? I lift it up to a spiritual level. Paul looked at the world perishing and he said, I have the message the world needs. I have the gospel that sinners need. I can go to the brokenhearted and bind up those hearts with a message the like of which the world has never heard before. No other religion in the world is anything to compare with it. I have the message they need. I have the comfort they need. I have the help they need. I have the Savior they need. I owe it to the perishing to tell them of Christ. Oh, that we would begin to feel the debt we owe to sinners. Come into the home. Husbands owe it to their wives to love them as Christ loved His church. Now, I want you to understand that's not just to be a fuzzy feeling. That's something you owe to God and you owe to your spouse. You owe it. Ephesians 5:28 puts it strongly that so ought husbands to love their wives as their own bodies. Now notice, so husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. Something they owe. Christians generally owe something to each other. Christians owe it to each other to support one another so that the strong will bear the infirmities of the weak and not please themselves. Now that's not just something that we do because we're nice people. It's something Paul says in Romans 15:1, Christians ought to do. We owe it to God and to the body of Christ that the strong would bear the weak And we owe it to each other. Listen, it's paramount in importance when you come to the unity and the usefulness of the Church of Christ. We owe it to each other not to please ourselves. When you get into a group of people and everybody sets out to be self-pleasing, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to have my way. I'm going to exert my authority or my opinion. When it's me and me and me and more me, you're going to have trouble and division and strife and sin, and you're going to find that self will obliterate the enjoyment of the Spirit. We owe it to each other to support one another in Christ and not to please ourselves. John goes even further and says we owe it to each other to love one another sacrificially. 1 John 3 verse 16 says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. My, how Christianity has changed in many, many instances. Well, what professes to be Christianity. John says, here you see the love of God. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now you can't get Christians to lay down an opinion for the brethren. You can't get them to lay down some foolish, wicked, worldly prejudice for the brethren. Oh no, my friend. This is a debt we owe to God, and it's a debt we owe to each other. And of course, it's a debt we each one owe to himself. What did Paul say in Romans 8, verse 12? Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. We owe something to God. We owe something to sinners. We owe something to the church. And we owe something to ourselves. And it's all wrapped up in living in the will of God. And anything else is sin. That's the definition of sin. Sin is a deviation from a divine standard. Sin is a dereliction from a divinely imposed duty. Sin is living in an undischarged debt. That's sin. And the final thing I'll say this morning is this, that if it's not dealt with, sin will ruin our fellowship with the Father. It will hinder our prayers. And it will rob us of many of the blessings and gifts that the Lord gives to his children. Remember, this is part of the Lord's Prayer. We pray, Our Father. But if this sin is not dealt with, if the problem of sin is not brought under divine control, then we're going to lose out. Even in this most fundamental part of the Christian life, which is being able to get through to God. What a loss and what a ruin that will be. That's why the Lord Jesus places such emphasis on this matter of sin. And it's why he taught us to pray, Father, forgive us. We will look a little further at what that means. You think of it. We'll come back to it, God willing, that Sabbath, but you think of it. It's very easy to say, forgive, or I forgive. But what on earth does it mean? I will simply say this to you. It is the will of our Savior that you and I live day by day in the sense and experience of the cleansing of His blood, the sanctification of His Spirit, and the fellowship of our Father who is in heaven. May God grant that indeed we will take the matter of the problem of sin seriously and allow nothing to come between us and our God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.